following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. Now here's Pastor Alan.
I think there's something very important the Lord is wanting to say to us, not just through the text we're looking at today in Nehemiah chapter 8, but through this entire service. Some people try to say that planning and preparation somehow shortchange God's spirit when it comes to worship. I think it's actually the opposite. I think sometimes that kind of thinking, that everything has to be spontaneous, and I believe in spontaneity, but sometimes I think we overemphasize spontaneity and shortchange God in that way. Let me explain what I'm talking about. The Gideons contacted us months ago about sending a representative today. So we love the work of the Gideons. We readily agreed. We put it on the calendar. That's a little silo over here, okay? Didn't think much about it more anymore. Just knew that date was coming. At the same time, I was preparing and sketching out our study through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And I spent a little time trying to figure out, okay, what passage will fall on what day. And then once I do that, I kind of set it aside, and I don't look at those individual passages again until about a week before I get ready to preach from them. That's a different silo. And that gives us two plans running on parallel tracks, destined to converge on this Sunday. All right? You with me so far? But here's the wrinkle. A few weeks ago, I actually took a week off from that original preaching schedule because I really felt a compunction to deal with a particular need in another passage from the New Testament. So we set aside Ezra and Nehemiah, and I dealt with that passage on that particular day. So that pushed my whole schedule back a week. That was not part of the original plan. So given that, what are the odds outside of the providential hand of God that on the very Sunday, when we're hosting a presentation by the Gideons, we would land on this passage that I want to spend just a few minutes covering with you this morning in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, where we read, "And all the people gathered as one man in the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it from the square which is in front of the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maasa on his right hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, while lifting up their hands. And then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shibathai, Hodiah, Maaseab, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book from the law of God, translating to give the sense as they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Now, this is an important text. A lot of rabbis will say that this is the event in which the people of Israel became what's known as people of the book. Up till this time, their religious devotion had focused on the temple and all the sacrifices that surrounded the temple. And while those things remained important, from this time on, the focus of Judaism became the study and application of the Torah, the Scriptures, God's Word, His revealed commandments. Now, I actually think that process began a little earlier than that. And the event we read about in Nehemiah 8 is the culmination of some things that had been bubbling along for a couple of generations. Before the Babylonian exile, God's people had God's temple in their midst. And the thing was, very few took it seriously. They treated God's temple like some kind of good luck charm. If asked, they'd express warm feelings about the temple and about the sacrifices, but many people would show up to fulfill their minimal obligations, and then they spend the rest of the week pursuing whatever they wanted to. And for not a small number, that included pursuing other idols, as well as some ungodly lifestyle practices. And when God had had enough of His people's unfaithfulness, He allowed them to be conquered and carried off into exile in Babylon. God stripped them of that temple. He stripped them of their city, their nation, their land. And they are scattered throughout Babylon. Little tiny communities of God's people would gather together to study God's Word and pray, because that's all they had left. And that planted the seeds of what we now know as the synagogue system. And this is important, because think about what we have endured over the past 2 years. Before, many people in our community, in our country, identified as Christians. But how many took that identity seriously? We treated God like a good luck charm while we pursued dozens of competing idols of our own making. Now, I don't know who said this first. I wish I could take credit for it, because I think it was brilliant. But maybe you've seen this posted on the internet somewhere. We worship sports, so God closed down the arenas. We worship celebrity, so God closed down the movie theaters and the concert halls. We worship the dollar, so God closed down the economy. We worshiped our freedom, so God shut us up in our homes for months. Just like He stripped everything away from His people in 6th century Judah, God stripped away every distraction from our lives in order to get our attention. Have we learned any lessons? What are we doing differently from this point on? God didn't send Ezra and Nehemiah to Jerusalem just to build a temple and to rebuild the city. He sent them to Jerusalem to revive a people. Now let's take a quick look at what God's people in Judah did differently as a result of their exile. First of all, we see in verse 1, God's people desired God's word. Now, you notice in verse 1, in this instance, it wasn't Ezra or Nehemiah that called the people together to hear God's word. We're told in verse 1, it was the people themselves who called and gathered and asked Ezra to teach them. The people had developed a hunger for God's word. And it was this word that actually set this people of Israel apart from the rest of the world. God didn't choose Israel to give the world a temple. God chose Israel to give the world a Savior who could reconcile unholy people to a holy God. The people of Israel became the cradle that would produce that Savior. In order to make that happen, God had to reveal Himself directly to His chosen people. As the first half of Psalm 19 tells us, it is possible to form some kind of vague notion about God and His existence just by looking at His fingerprints in creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." But when you get down into the second half of Psalm 19, we're told that the only way to really know God, I mean, you can know about Him from looking at His creation, but the only way to really know Him is through what He has disclosed directly about Himself through His revealed Word. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." All of those are synonyms for God's revealed word that He gave to the people of Israel, so that they in turn to be the vessel through whom he brought the Savior into the world. That's why God chose them in the first place, to give them his word so that through them he could speak to the rest of the world. And God has continued to speak, and we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But it's significant to know that in all the revivals that history has recorded, there tend to be two constants. One, people sought the Lord in prayer, and two, a renewed emphasis on the Word of God. The Reformation in the 16th century was completely about getting back to the Scriptures. The Great Awakening, the Jesus People movement in the 1960s in this country. And hopefully today we will begin to see people turn back to the Scriptures and seek the God who is revealed in these pages. Not only did God's people desire His Word, not only did they hunger for His Word, they listened to His Word. In verses 2 through 4, we see people who are willing to sit out as Ezra is teaching them. We're told from the early morning in verse 3 until midday. So from breakfast until lunch, they sat out in the hot sun, listening to this guy read from the Scriptures. Most of us get antsy after about 20 minutes. Most likely, this was not a one-time thing either. This event described here in Nehemiah chapter 8 is very similar to another event that's described back in the book of Ezra in chapter 10. In fact, there are some scholars who try to say, well, these are really talking about the same event. The problem is you get into all kinds of continuity issues there. The place is different. The time of year is different. The weather's different. In fact, in that one, in Ezra chapter 10, the people set out in the cold rain listening to the Word of God be preached. Here in Nehemiah chapter 8, they're sitting out in the hot sun listening to the Word of God get preached. How many of us get upset because the room's too cold or too warm? These people were so hungry for the Word of God, they were willing to sit there in any conditions to receive that Word. I think actually these are two different events because I think this was an annual occurrence. We're told in just right before chapter 8, in fact, I probably should have started reading there, at the end of chapter 7, and when the seventh month came, the sons of Israel were in their cities. So this is taking place in the seventh month of their civic calendar. And that's a very important month on the Jewish calendar because there are several important religious holidays that take part in there. We're told this is the first day of the seventh month. That's Rosh Hashanah, the start of the Jewish New Year. The Jews actually had two calendars, a religious calendar, a civic calendar. So this is the first day of their religious calendar, their new year. It's kind of like we have in our church. You know, we have a calendar year and then we have a fiscal year that starts in October. So this is the first day of that year. They're celebrating the new year. Not too long after that comes Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Not too long after that is Sukkot, which is the Feast of Weeks. So there are these major festivals, and I believe as the people gather together, they made it a practice to seek out the preaching and teaching of God's Word. This became an annual thing. But not only did they listen to God's Word, God's people honored His Word. In verse 5, as Ezra opened the book, and what he did was unroll a scroll. Books had not been invented yet. You know, little books like this had not been invented yet. So they had scrolls. So he unreads the scroll, begins to read, probably from the book of Deuteronomy. But as he reads, what did the people do? They stood up to honor God's Word. Now, maybe you've been in a church where they do that. You know, where the pastor gets up and says, okay, would you stand in honor of God's Word? Now, I don't typically make you do that because the way I preach, a lot of times, especially in a book like Nehemiah, we're covering these long passages. You know, chapter 7 had 73 verses. I don't want to make you stand for 73 verses while we read that. That's why we try to break it up and do a few verses at a time. And even today, I'm breaking it up. I'm not going in a whole lot of depth here. But the people stood up to honor God's Word. And then as he read, he asked for response, and they affirmed his reading by shouting, amen, amen. And then they bowed down on their faces in the ground in honor of God's Word. Now, some people say, well, you Christians just worship the Bible. Notice they were not worshiping the physical scroll that Nehemiah was reading. They were seeking to honor the God behind that text, to honor the author of the text. Now, there's an even better way of honoring God than simply standing. Okay? And that is as the prophet Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You know, we a lot of times, you may have heard the expression, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Not when it comes to God's Word. God would rather you obey the first time. You want to honor God, obey His Word. As Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So these people honor God, and one way we can honor God is by obeying what He's revealed, what He has told us about Himself. And God's people also studied His Word. In verses 7 and 8, we're told about two groups of men who were assisting Ezra. One was a group on the platform with him, apparently helping him to read the Scriptures. You know, you're reading Scriptures for 6 hours, your throat can get a little dry, so I'm sure he had a little help. But there's another group we're told about in verse 7 that circulated among the crowd, making sure the people understood what they were hearing. We're told they were translating in verse 8 to give the sense that they understood the reading. Now, the Hebrew there, I'm not a great Hebrew scholar, but people who are better than me tell me there's a couple of different ways that Hebrew can be interpreted there. One is simply the literal act of translating from one language to another. Now, the Scriptures were written in Hebrew, but a lot of these people had grown up speaking a language called Aramaic. It's similar to Hebrew, but not exact. So they may have had a little trouble understanding. So perhaps these guys are mingling in the crowd and they're translating the word for the benefit of the Aramaic speakers to make sure they can actually understand what's being read there. But that word can also mean to explain. So it's quite possible the purpose of these assistants who are mingling in the crowd was to go into more depth and to do like kind of what I do when I open God's word before you, to get into the context, to get into the meaning, to really see how everything fits together and to help you understand this is what this word meant for the people who first heard it and this is how it applies to us today. It's almost like they're having little small groups in the crowd with these 13 Levites who are scattered among the crowd. This could be a proto Sunday school, who knows? But they're seeking to understand God's word. The point is that efforts were made not just to hear the word, but to understand it and apply it. And as God's people understood God's word, they responded to God's word. Look again at verse 9. Nehemiah stands up before the people. He says, "This is a holy day. Do not mourn or weep." Why were the people weeping? Why did Nehemiah have to get up and say this? The people wept because as Ezra was reading the word, they realized how far short they had fallen from the message contained in that word. They were dealing with a holy God, and in many ways, they were an unholy people. And so, this is something we see so often. This is why the Scriptures play such an important part in revival historically. Exposure to God's word brings conviction. And so these people are falling under conviction. Their hearts are broken because of what they see. When's the last time your heart was moved because of something you read in the Scriptures? Or how often we just let it go in one ear and out the other? The people were moved to the point of weeping. Nehemiah has to remind them, hey, this is New Year's. This is the day to celebrate. So what the people did was translate that conviction into action. They responded to God's word and they obeyed God's word. Verses 10 through 12. The people celebrated the feast days that the word outlined. And not only that, but as Nehemiah encouraged them, they, in verse 10, he says, "Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared." What are they doing there? They are literally loving their neighbors as themselves. They are practicing charity towards those who did not have the means to celebrate. So instead of just focusing on themselves, as God's word told them to do, they loved God, they loved their neighbors. They're trying to obey the Scriptures there. They sought to become doers of the word, not just hearers. Can you point to a time in your life when exposure to God's word made a difference in your life? Now, God continued to speak to His people, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. In fact, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God has given us His ultimate word. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we're told God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. That Son has told us what God is truly seeking from each one of us. Jesus said, John 6:29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." God has sent His Son into this world as His final word. And He wants us to respond to that word in faith by opening our lives up to Jesus and bowing the knee to Him, putting our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior and following Him as our Lord. God has spoken. How are you responding?
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.